Welcome to Mother Food, a podcast dedicated to mothers who turned a traditional role of feeding into a professional success. I'm your host, Alyssa Timoshkina, event planner, supper club host, cook, food writer, and first-time mama. In this podcast, we will meet women who forged inspiring careers in food while also embracing life as mothers. We cover topics from life-work balance and self-nurture to pregnancy diets, breastfeeding, baby weaning, family meal planning, and a lot more. No matter where you are on your journey now, you will find support, advice, inspiration, and a community here. Mother Food is a space for heartfelt discussions filled with recipes, food memories, practical tips, and honest insights into the lives of modern mothers. To mark this year's World Breastfeeding Week, I have a very lovely guest on the show today. Her name is Amy Van Heeren. She's an entrepreneur, mother, writer, and founder of Pump Spotting. Pump Spotting is a community-driven breastfeeding and digital health platform. While working in food, PR, and digital marketing, Amy had her second baby and had a really difficult and challenging task of leaving her newborn at 6 weeks and going back to work while still maintaining the unique connection of breastfeeding. The story that Amy shares on the podcast has really boggled my mind. I can't imagine how she could have done what she's done. And it's really amazing to hear that her profound struggle, both emotional and logistical, has not only ensured a thriving relationship between her and her child, but also inspired a really powerful and very much needed initiative, which became Pump Spotting. So Amy will tell us all about this amazing initiative in the due course, while I just wanted to reflect a little bit on my own breastfeeding journey and how Amy's work and why Amy's work has really resonated with me. I've already shared in the first episode of this podcast that Mother Food was really born out of my own completely unexpected struggle breastfeeding my baby girl. It really has been the most challenging, traumatic start, which I have not anticipated in a million years. So looking back on it now, despite the difficulties and the overwhelming despair and the feeling that I literally cannot make it through another night, I'm in a way grateful to have had this experience because I feel like it really opened my eyes and my heart to the plurality of journeys that we have as mothers, that no single story is the same, and that every story deserves to be heard, to be empathized with, and to be supported. So partly because of my hardships, I have been able to create this platform. And the beauty of this platform is this really incredible space that is created. It's a space of friendship and honesty and real connection. As the episode with Amy demonstrates, I was essentially talking to a complete stranger whom I've never met before. We haven't even spoken before. Yet there we were, talking about the most intimate things, such as our breasts, and relating the most intimate sensations, feelings, and emotions. And yet, all those stories are met with complete understanding and knowing. And that idea of connection to other women really is at the heart of Pump Spotting. And I absolutely love how Amy expressed it, saying that to help women thrive in their breastfeeding journey, all she needed to do was help them gain access to one another. And it's that idea of women supporting one another that is absolutely essential to my mission with the podcast, as well as to the bigger essence of motherhood, but I guess womanhood in general. Hi Hi, Amy. Welcome to Mother Food. I really appreciate that you found the time and got up really early to do this recording.
I'm so happy to be here.
It's really amazing the work that you're doing, and I'm so thrilled to be able to share it on my podcast. So I wanted to start by asking you to tell us about your initiative, Pump Spotting, and how did it come about?
With Pump Spotting, we really exist to help mothers nourish both their babies and their careers. What we've built is a community and a platform that is making breastfeeding less isolating and more possible. We bring moms together, we connect them to one another, we connect them to services and resources they need, and we're really thinking about how we can use technology and community to meet moms where they are and to feed them at every stage as they're feeding their babies. So whether that's finding another mother in the middle of the night who has been through this journey and is trying to make it through one more feed and a lot of sleeplessness, or access to an expert or a lactation consultant who can solve a particular need, or finding a place to nurse and pump that is not a bathroom, or support in the workplace, which is one of the hardest times to breastfeed. And so what we're really trying to think about is how do we make this journey to feed both your family and your career and your soul a lot less isolating and a lot easier. And pump spotting came to be from my own journey. I'm a mom of two. I'm a two-time breastfeeder, and I found my own journey really beautiful and really, really hard. And that's really the onus for where this started. With my second was running a marketing agency. And when you own your own business, that means that there's not a lot of time for maternity leave. So when my son was 6 weeks old, that's when I had to go back to work. And work for me meant flying across the country. I live in Maine, and a lot of my clients were in California, and that's a 7-hour flight, which when you are a brand new breastfeeding mother is an exhausting amount of logistics and work. And so every time I left my house, I would find myself on this very complicated, obsessive schedule around pumping and feeding. I'd have to get up at 4 a.m. and I'd have to feed and put him back to sleep, and then I'd have to get on a bus to Boston, and then I'd have to pump in the airport before I boarded the plane, and pump on the plane between businessmen, and then pump when I got off the plane, and then pump in between all my meetings and in the middle of the night in the hotel. And I just found myself in this reality where my world had become focused on work and family, both of which I loved, but then this third layer of feeding that became my life. Googling, how to ship milk and driving everywhere to get dry ice and get it back home, and just pumping and pumping and pumping. And then when I was home feeding, and somewhere in the middle of it all, I was really wanting to give up, because as much as I wanted to breastfeed, it just felt like I just don't have any more energy to put towards this. And I was, crying quite a lot, and I was really alone. And I started talking to other women, and everywhere, in the airport, in the coffee shop. My sister-in-law was feeding triplets, by
Oh,
pumping.
wow.
Yeah, and because they were in the NICU and really young. And it just, all of a sudden, it was sort of like this bright light went off that there was a world of women and mothers around me who were in the act of feeding, and that I wasn't the only one doing it, and that we'd been doing it for generations. And I couldn't believe that I felt so disconnected from that community and that cycle. And because my background was in marketing and social media and community building, and we were, you always have your phone when you're in a pump room and sitting there, that's where the idea came to me that I could build a space in the palm of our hands to really unite all of us, so that we didn't feel so alone, so that we could share information, so that we could share places, and that we could really come together to say, I hear you, I see you, I'm there, I'm nursing, I'm pumping alongside you, and you're doing a great job. And that's really how pump spotting came to be.
Wow, what an incredible story. both your own journey, but also the initiative itself. And there are so many questions I want to ask, and I don't even know where to start with. But I guess let's start with your own experience. And as you've already mentioned, that at one point you felt like giving up. What gave you the strength to continue, and why didn't you give up? Because, I mean, it's hard, regardless of your work commitments, you know, even if you're just a stay-at-home mom, it can be so challenging. But in the States, I mean, the fact that you guys don't get hardly any maternity leave, I mean, 6 weeks, that's a joke. How on earth did you manage to find the energy to continue with your work and persevere with breastfeeding? What was the main driving factor for you?
I think it was every time I would breastfeed again, you know, I would be at my wit's end in some ways, and, you know, the middle of the night, and my children never slept. So feeding and feeding and feeding at night, and but every time I would feed again, it almost would fill me back up. And so, as hard as it was, at least in that moment of connection and bond, especially when I was working and traveling in a way so much, it felt like this, you know, as hard as the entire experience was and the moments of it, every time I could sit down in a chair and be connected to my child in this way, this sort of energy exchange of milk and touch and connection and that flow kind of filled me back up. And there were times when I would resent it because I had to do it again and again and again. But I think I kept coming back to that moment of unity, I think. And that would make me feel as though I could keep going. And then somewhat for me, I think this is going to sound, I don't know how this is going to sound, but in a way I almost got to be obsessive, as if like I want to give up. And yet I believe in this so much. I believe in the importance of it. And I've come this far in this journey that I don't want to stop just because the logistics of the world make me feel as though I should give this up. Because I would keep coming back to it, you know, feed over feed and feeling like I wanted to. And I think in those moments, I felt really determined to see this through and to say, no, this matters to you, this matters to me. And I, you know, despite the pain or the heartache of it, if I can just keep going, you know, one more feed, one more ounce, that I'll make it through. And I think in the really dark moments, that's when I would turn to a friend, or I would text someone, or I would speak up and say, this is not okay. I'm just miserable. This is really hard. Do you want it? Like, are you there? Do you feel it? And someone always would kind of give me that light at the end of the tunnel, and I would feed again, and then I'd keep going.
Amazing. And was the feeding itself, before you had to go back to work, was the feeding itself straightforward? Was it a natural connection that you've established with both of your children?
Yeah, I was pretty fortunate that way. I had, you know, early on, I had a lot to figure out, especially with my first, in terms of latch. And so I had some of the you know, the nipple pain and just the pain. No one told me that there were moments in the beginning when it was really toe curling pain, the latch in the very beginning. And you know, you've just given birth and you've just gone through all these physical experiences, and then here you are again with this physical experience, and there's just so much to figure out, you know, when your milk comes in. And mine came in fast and furious, and I just, you know, my breasts were filling up and the pain of that. And so I think in the, you know, the early weeks for me, there was so much to figure out that I had, you know, a lot of anxiety and stress over that. But then I was pretty fortunate that with both my children was able to feed pretty straightforward once we were on the path of breastfeeding. You know, there were some ups and downs. I did get mastitis and things like that. But I was able to find a lot of joy overall in my feeding moments with both of them.
Yes, it's interesting that no one really openly talks about how painful breastfeeding can be. And it just reminded me when I was in a hospital, when my milk just came in and I was texting my friends, and the emoji that I use is that volcano erupting. That felt like that was a perfect representation of my boobs. It just felt like they were on fire, and it was just so much pain. Even before you put the baby on the breast,
Yeah.
Absolutely, it's crazy.
The pain and that volcano erupting, and also in a way you're responsible for then controlling that volcano and that eruption. You have to make sure, because it just keeps coming. So then in this state of postpartum and in this phase, you have to always be in charge of expressing the milk and feeding or pumping or keep it, and then keeping that supply up. And that's just, it's, that's the other thing I don't think we talk about, is that's a lot of weight and responsibility. It's a wonderful, beautiful thing that the body does, and to be able to do this, but to have to really have this constant flowing volcano that you are now, have to, on top of everything else, that you have to constantly be maintaining. It's a lot of weight emotionally, it's a lot of weight physically, and it's a huge time commitment.
Absolutely. And for me as well, it was quite shocking that, this body part that as a woman you've had for quite a while and, you're used to it in one way, and then all of a sudden it's like you've acquired a new meaning in this body part, and it's almost like it's not your body anymore. It's so bizarre that it's suddenly doing something that it's never done before, and the sensations are completely unpredictable and unprecedented, and that for me was really difficult to cope with. The other thing that you said, which was really interesting, that you had to feed, on the airplane in between businessmen, and then, at the airport and who knows where else. How did you feel in general as a society, were responding to your act of pumping? Did you feel safe and comfortable? Because obviously, the whole idea of safety and emotional calm when you're breastfeeding is so essential to the milk supply, especially in the early days. So how did you feel you were being perceived, and how did you feel within yourself when you were pumping in public?
Yeah, I think it's a great question to think about both ways. How did I feel myself, and also how did I feel I was received? Because in a way, those are two different things, but two important things as part of this. It really varied for me. And it's funny that when you ask that question, I flush easily. I can, like, the redness and the heat in my face comes quickly. And as you're saying that, I can remember being in public, and that's how I felt frequently. I would feel anxious about being there, and that now I can feel like the heat come back to my face, and the heat, and you're already hot when you're feeding a baby, because you got human to human. And so it depended to me. I wasn't someone who just felt, anywhere, anytime. I did. I would feed my child anywhere I was, but I wasn't someone who was at ease myself with just being in public, unless I had, a nursing cover or a space to be. And I think that was partially internally, just my comfort level with being open about it in public, and partially because there were a lot of places I had to pump that weren't pump and nurse that weren't used, weren't traditional settings, like being in the airport. I remember being at one time, I think I was in Boston, and the airport was really, really crowded, and I had to pump before I got on the plane, because it's so much harder to pump on the plane, and so I wanted to get it done beforehand, and it was so packed, and the bathroom was so small, and it was so packed that my options were to do it in the bathroom stall, and to have the stress of knowing there was a tremendous line of women out the door, not only being in a bathroom, but knowing that I'm taking up the time and feeling the stress and the weight around that, or to stand at the counter where the outlet was to plug my pump in, and then, be very openly pumping in front of everyone, or to try and do it in the midst of the sea of people in the chairs waiting to get on planes. And I remember standing there and just kind of weighing all those options and feeling as though, like, there's nowhere to go, and yet the milk is going to come. And what is it that I want to do? And so I decided to do it. I sat in a chair by one of the wall outlets, and I plugged in and I put my nursing cover on, and I remember I was pumping just, and there were people everywhere around me, and I got so many varied looks, because in a way, as much as people would look at me, a lot of, and often men or people would look at me and hear the noise and see the cover and give me this look, there were also a lot of women who would smile, who'd been there, who got it or who understood. And so anywhere I was, I think I found a mixed bag. I often found a lot of anxiety, and it felt as though that, people weren't at ease with that. But I really looked for the women who I could feel this affinity with, who really got it and felt like their energy put me more at ease when I was out and about having to feed or pump.
So it's again back to the idea of a community of women, even if you don't know them. It's just comforting to see another woman when you're in this somewhat vulnerable state. And was there anything you did in terms of food and your own nourishment? Because obviously, being on the plane and the time difference and being away from your child, it's again doesn't do much for ensuring a good milk supply. How did you look after yourself in terms of your own nutrition?
It's hard. It's hard to feed yourself in those early days. And certainly for me, I remember in the beginning, it's hard to get up from the chair. And so we actually had a rule in our household that when mom feeds baby, dad feeds mom. And my husband would,
Amazing. I love that.
it's amazing. He would cut up little snacks and, have bowls around so I could reach almonds and fruit and things like that, because you're really, in the beginning, it's, hard to get up. And then I was traveling so much and had to think about so many things. And, you're already carrying milk through security and all that. And so to carry on the extra thing. So
Of
the
course.
answer is I didn't do a great job, I don't think, of nourishing myself. I think I had to really force a lot of snacks in my bags. I had to just be mindful of what I ate. The only thing that really worked in my favor is that actually, in a way, I've been working to feed people and help with nourishment for a long time, because as before pump spotting and my role as a marketer, I worked for all food companies, for all organic food companies. And so I was surrounded by people who really believed in food, and especially organic food and a lot of nourishment. And so I was fortunate that a lot of people I worked with would help feed me when I was, at clients and in places. They would make sure that I was eating bars and yogurt and good things that helped me eat. But I actually had to set a timer on my phone to drink water even, because I would forget. And it's so important for
Absolutely.
the milk.
Oh, it's such an amazing story that you're telling us, because on the one hand, it's so empowering that women can do it all, but at the same time, it still is a reminder that as a society, we still have so much work to do to really enable women to thrive in motherhood and their careers. Because at the moment, I feel like we're dealt slightly like the wrong end of the stick by being told that, now as a woman, you can do anything you want. You can be a mother and you can build a career and you can do it all at the same time. But then no one actually thought about the practicalities of it. So women are kind of thrown into this whirlpool of, I can do all of this stuff that I want. It's great that there's the society that now accepts me as a woman who is working and breastfeeding. But at the same time, there's so little support, in terms of infrastructure and just kind of social awareness as well, that women still have to do all these challenging things like pumping on airplanes and factoring self-care into their business meetings. And it's quite a big task, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's a big task, and in some ways, I think all I could do is put one foot in front of the other. In the beginning, especially, but even now, especially in this pandemic, and my kids are now at 5 and 8, and so they're a little bit older and a little bit more independent. But I'm still trying to mother and homeschool and run a company, and it's overwhelming pretty much all the time. I see the joy, the moments, and the things I love, but we still, as a society and a culture, in sometimes I think almost as much as we enable us to be able to do all these multiple things, and where these roles we're also still not creating space for the time to restore and to build back up. And somewhat, I think this pandemic has really given us, some of us, the ability to have a little more quiet and pause in the juggle of doing that. And then in other ways, it's made it way harder because, you know, as you are, kids are crawling in meetings and everything, essentially it's all happening now in one space, and it's all happening in one orbit where it, you could try and juggle things separately and before, and now I'm still doing the juggle, but I'm just doing the juggle, you know, all in one place or all in one moment. And I am one of the things with pump spotting that we did in 2018, we had the technology out there and we've been building the community, and I decided that I really wanted to understand the state of breastfeeding on a deep level, and I really wanted to connect women, not just through technology, but in person. And so we ended up buying a 40-foot RV and turning it into a mothering oasis called the Breast Express.
I love that. When I saw that on your website, I was like, wow, this is the best thing ever.
Yeah. And it was really a tiny home. It was like a roving beacon of nourishment. Moms could sit up front, and we had it stocked with food to feed them and to help nourish them with what they needed, and, you know, access to lactation consultants and breast pumps and a bed and back if you needed to sit and nurse and all that. And we traveled across the country to show up and to support moms. But we stopped at a lot of companies when we were traveling across the country, and it became very clear that the one place where breastfeeding was consistently the hardest was the back to work, and when women were trying to do multiple things. And that's really what has compelled us with what we're doing with the technology, to focus on a system that makes it easier for employers to give mothers support and access during this time. Because there's a lot that I think our society has done for breastfeeding support, especially in the workplace, in terms of places and, you know, better pumps and thinking shipping milk. There's so many amazing things happening, but at its core, what you still need is a lot of emotional support, a lot of encouragement, and a lot of connection. And I think that human-centric support system, when you're trying to do it all, or at least just get through the day, is really vital. And that's what I'm really passionate about trying to make easier for all of us.
Absolutely. That's really amazing that not only you persevered with your goal of breastfeeding, and, well, I guess the goal is not really the right word, but with your feeling that the breastfeeding is the right thing for you and your child, and you managed to combine that in your career, but you actually said, hang on a second, I see there's a real gap here, and I want to turn my struggle into something productive and use that to help other women kind of make their journey a bit lighter and more supported. So could you talk us through how you went from your work in the marketing world to then launching the initiative? Was it the app that you've done first, or was it the bus? Kind of how did the whole transition happen?
I think organically, you know, it's sort of bit by bit. I had this idea for pump spotting, and then, of course, because I was spending so much time pumping and nursing, I had this nugget of the idea, and then it didn't leave my brain. It was all I thought about. Then at that point, I started to, every time I was, you know, expressing milk in some form or fashion, I was thinking, gosh, what do I need right now? And who do I need to connect to? And what could this look like? And how could I do it? But I didn't really know where to go, because I had never, even though I came from the world of connecting people through other platforms, I had never built a platform myself or thought about that. And I really had no idea what to do. And so for a while, it was just a lot of sitting with the idea and doodling ideas around it, and you know, starting to talk to people and put it out there and express my enthusiasm for what it is. And I remember I had a friend who was a yoga instructor who would come to my house every so often, and she actually would hold my son while she was talking me through poses, and it was she was really nourishing me, which was amazing in a way to allow me to have a little bit of self-care during the early days. And I remember I was in the middle and I was talking to her about this idea, and I said, I want to do this, and but I have no idea where to go. And she said, I know who you need. And she had been on a yoga retreat with a woman named Lindsay Whitmer Collins, who was a software developer. She was a, you know, she built apps for people. That connection proved vital for me in terms of bringing my idea to life, because Lindsay, we had a phone call, and you know, I talked her through what I wanted to do, and she said she loved it and she got it, and that was really what brought it to life. And so I brought her on board to build the first version of the app, and then that's how our journey began. And then bit by bit, I just, you know, it's really about community, I think, even in building a business. For me, it's been finding the right people who have the experience, who I can make a connection with, who really understand where we're going. And that's what's helped us grow kind of bit by bit.
And can you talk us through the app itself? What exactly can one find there, and how does a mother use it?
Yeah. So moms, essentially, we joked in the beginning it was kind of Facebook meets Yelp meets Boob is where it started. So the ability to, there's a, you know, mama feed where you talk to one another and you post and you can celebrate your wins and your hard moments and ask questions and get advice. There is a space that's very much like Yelp where you share and rate and find all the places to nurse and pump. And you know, it's really amazing because it's very mom-centric. So it's everything from it's, you know, in the airport behind the shoe shine at gate A5 to it's my local pizza joint. It's the go in the back, the booth in the back has more space to fit, you know, your baby in, or the wait staff is really friendly here. And so it's real sharing, not just of the what's the space, but you know, the energy around it. And then there's content. And then what we launched in January is the pump spotting at work. So then the next evolution of the app is for companies, for employers that bring this on for the companies. Moms get not only that community-centric social space, but they also get an internal company channel. So you can talk to all the moms at your own company about the journey. And then they can find and schedule the mothering lactation rooms in the office. And then they get access to a lactation consultant. And we got all kinds of content and encouragement. We call them love notes that are timed to your due date and your back to work date. So essentially, we're kind of feeding you the emotional support as you're walking through this journey, all the way from pregnancy through weaning.
That's amazing. I love the sound of it. And I was actually thinking as we were talking that it's so important to have pregnant women involved in the discussion kind of as early as possible, because, you know, that's what I hear so much, that many women go, "Well, no one told me." And that's because the midwives only talk to you about breastfeeding. You know, there's so much focus on the birth itself, that life after birth, which is kind of the biggest part of your life with your child, it's kind of swept under the carpet, and then you end up with this big shock of breastfeeding. But that's amazing that you start the breastfeeding journey with pregnant women. And also, it's amazing that it's not just providing mothers with a space and enabling, you know, this sense of community, which in itself is already an amazing achievement, but also that you're actually working with their workspaces. It's almost like a, you know, campaigning for more visibility and more acceptance, I guess, of women in their right to pump, which is brilliant.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's so valuable to allow women to be able to continue breastfeeding and pumping, especially when they're going back to work. It just benefits everyone, not just the mom and baby, but it's across the board. It's worthwhile for businesses. It, you know, reduces healthcare costs with healthier moms and babies. Mothers are happier. They're more engaged because they're able to live their full self and provide this nourishment. And you know, there's even been amazing studies that correlate increased milk production with increased productivity. because it's just such a good thing across the board. And yet I think not only is it logistically challenging, but I think employers, there's long been this sense of I don't even know how to address it or how do I help, because we frequently find that companies really want to support their mothers in this journey, but they don't know how, or they don't understand it, or it kind of goes back to that. It's hard to talk about breastfeeding, you know, like especially in a professional setting. There's been this societal feeling, I think, that it's this, you know, thing you don't really want to talk about, or it can't be part of the conversation. And so as much as we're supporting mothers, what we're really trying to do for employers and is really open up the conversation there and say, look, we're here to do this with you and for you, for your workforce, so that you can provide the support your working nursing families need without it feeling hard to tackle or uncomfortable. And there's been, you know, there's been some wonderful receptiveness to that and some positivity around it.
That's really wonderful. Just to get a sense of the field, I guess, what kind of companies do you mostly work with?
I think the wonderful thing about what we're building is that it really is beneficial to every mother at every stage. So, you know, no matter what your feeding journey looks like. So I should say that on the platform, it's about helping parents in this active feeding, no matter what that looks like. So, you know, we've got everyone exclusively breastfeeding, exclusively pumping, supplementing, you know, every journey in between, whether you're feeding for 3 days or 3 years, it's there. And then the way we've built is, in particular, the at-work piece, it's valuable if you are the only mother at your company or if you are one of 1,000. And so really the interest we've had and the companies we work with span. We've got healthcare company, we've got a law firm, we've got a technology company, we're in talks with a health insurance company. And, you know, we have worked really broadly. It's sort of industry agnostic, really, in a way, in terms of where we go. I would say certainly the companies that have been most interested early on are either in a competitive recruitment space for women in this phase of life, or progressive. You know, they're already thinking about family benefits and how we help. But we're also working with a lot of companies who maybe are smaller. They don't have the HR team that can focus on a lot of things in a lot of areas. And we're making it easy for companies that are even just, hey, I've got a few women and families in this space that I want to support, and I believe in it.
Amazing. And what is the, just to understand the kind of climate in general, what is the general mood towards breastfeeding? Like here in the UK, it feels like in the recent years, there's a lot of emphasis on the importance of breastfeeding, and the NHS really supports women in their breastfeeding journeys. And there's a lot of advice that, you know, you're encouraged to feed up until 2 years, and lots of places have like a sticker saying breastfeeding friendly and so on. What is the situation like in the States from the healthcare system to just the kind of general public sphere?
I think in a way it's similar. I think we're in a similar space. You know, the recommendations more and more, they continue to be really putting them out there that exclusively for 6 months, you know, 2 years overall. And that the importance on that, I think, is really at the forefront. You know, the statistics here, I think over 80% of moms in the US start out breastfeeding, but still only about a third make it to a year. I think we've moved the needle a little. I think we're seeing some positive momentum in terms of getting there, but there is still a long ways to go in terms of truly getting moms to that. And I think there are, you know, social media and things have changed. So in a way, there's a lot more visibility around breastfeeding and a lot more conversation. And I think like a lot of businesses likewise are putting it forth. I think it just still varies so much. It varies. It matters, you know, where you come from, your community and your support system around you. There are certainly locations and populations where it is more, it's just from the beginning more ingrained that the support is there. than there are in other places. And I think it also still, there's a lot of variability in the hospital and in the healthcare system at the very beginning in terms of whether breastfeeding is being supported or initiated. And then it relates to access. You know, in some places there's lots of lactation consultants and connection if you're having trouble or you need things, and other places we're lacking. And so I would say that I would say it's and certainly in the 5 years that I've been doing this work, I think things have really tremendously started to move forward in some positive ways. And I think there's still a long ways to go to get to a place where the women who are breastfeeding and breastfeeding longer is higher than we are now.
Mm-hmm. And I'm quite interested to touch on this, the other side of this experience that women who can't breastfeed, but they're still nourishing, you know, they're still nourishing their babies, and the idea of breast is best versus fed is best. There's so much information out there and so many different opinions and ways of looking at it. And as I was struggling so much in the beginning, and I was at some point a woman who really passionately wanted to breastfeed her child but just physically couldn't, I feel it's really important to acknowledge that. How does that whole debate and that whole situation works out and for you, and how do you perceive it working with the mission that pump spotting is doing?
Yeah, I mean, my core goal and belief is really about nourishing the mothers on this journey so that they can reach their goals and that they can thrive. And it's any form of nourishment is amazing. And it is not easy, and everyone's journey looks very different. And what's right to me and to us, what's right is really what's right for you and your family. And that can look so many ways. There isn't only one way to feed. There isn't a right way. There isn't, you know, there isn't better than, in a way. Of course, like, our essence is to help women feel connected and supported, and to really give you as much as we can to help you reach your breastfeeding goals and beyond. And because of the research and how important it is to really start out that way, we want to help more women make it further, reach their goals, learn the education they can, make it easier. But at the end of the day, we're really here to cheer you on and say you're doing an amazing job, no matter what that looks like, no matter if you make it through one feed or 100 feeds, that the essence of what you need is a lot of women around you saying that I've been there. You know, it's okay if this journey looks different than you thought it would. And I think the more supportive environments we can create, and the more we just give mothers access to one another and to lactation consultants and to information, the more we will naturally allow people to breastfeed more and further, and opening up the conversations. But at the end of the day, I just want someone to be part of this community and feel as though they've had a positive experience, no matter what that looks like.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's so beautifully put. And also, I think the other interesting point to discuss, which ties into what you've said, is also how to make women feel comfortable and in their bodies when they're pumping. Because to me, and again, this is something that many women shared with me as well, that the whole experience of pumping is quite dehumanizing at first. You know, you've got that weird thing on your breasts, and the sound of the pump can be quite, you know, it's very mechanical, and it does make you feel, you know, there's so many kind of slightly silly comparisons to like a dairy cow. Mm-hmm. And I mean it's important to say that, because, you know, it's an honest thing that so many women feel, but at the same time it's also important to use really positive, empowering language, because for many of us it is a reality that we do need to pump. And sitting there feeling like a cow and knowing that this is what other women feel, can't, you know, it's not always the right kind of emotional energy that we need to feel. So I wanted to talk to you about kind of empowering women in the act of pumping.
Yeah, I had a real love-hate relationship with my breast pump. So I totally agree. I totally get it. I joke that it started to sound like Darth Vader to me at some point. The onus of hearing that noise day in and day out. And it's true. You feel, for me, I've also felt really vulnerable. I would have to go into these corporate spaces and take my dress down, and then hook up to this machine. And it is a strange experience. It's not something, it feels very disconnected from being connected to your baby, which on the flip side for me was the highlights of my day, that the moment, that touch and such. But it was vital to me continuing this journey of nourishing and feeding. And so we had to really embrace it. And I think partly I go back to kind of the strength in numbers, that, if you can think about what this act is helping you nourish and giving, allowing you to continue to give something to your child and keep doing that. And that's a really wonderful thing. And that you are one of many women who is hooking up and putting this out into the world and, sitting in those rooms pumping. If you can think about the bigger picture, both in terms of what it means for your family, but also kind of how amazing it is, the superhero-ness of being able to hook up to this machine and do something tremendous to keep going. And I think, you have to have a lot of positive affirmations in the act of pumping and of getting used to it. I think we've made such innovations in breast pumps, the wearable pumps and mm-hmm. where people are going. We with our tour, we actually kicked things off. MIT here had an amazing event called Make the Breast Pump Not Suck Hackathon. It was they brought all these brilliant smart minds together to do a hackathon around innovation in breastfeeding space. And so I'm really optimistic we're coming a ways with that, but at the end of the day, it still is a machine, it still is this machine that you're hooking up to, and it's not empowering. The physical act of it is not empowering, but if we can mentally get to a space where you can connect to the essence of what it allows you to do and how powerful that is, hopefully we can keep tapping into that piece of it.
That's a great way to look at it. Yeah, I mean, I never had to pump in public. I just was pumping because I couldn't get the latch working for the first 6 weeks or so. And my midwife was saying that, you need to obviously hold your baby close, or if the baby is not there, think about the baby and really bring yourself into that, kind of intimate space within yourself, that, imagine your baby will smell, have their clothes or something, that you smell them, because, our bodies are incredible, that they can, just from your own mindset, you can actually make such a big difference to what your body is experiencing and what it's doing for you.
Yeah, although it's really hard to get there when the noise and the anxiety and all of that.
I don't know. It's how you did it. It's just, hats off to you. It's incredible that you were able to persevere and find the confidence and find that kind of inner presence to do it in corporate spaces and airports. Wow. Yeah, it's amazing. I also Thank wanted you. To ask you about your own journey as a mompreneur and how you once you've decided to start your own business, how's that working for you with your own family and your own kind of rhythms during the day, and basically just combining being a mother but also being a working woman?
Well, I have a pretty wonderful partner. I have to say, I have to start out by saying really, truly, hats off my husband, because I've really put our family through their paces. I think committing to starting a business, and certainly starting a business such as we've done with Pump Spotting, has really, it's been all encompassing in a lot of ways, both because I'm so passionate about it and I really believe in it and I really want it to grow and I really want to support others. And because it's just a tremendous amount of work to have a startup and have a business and be, having to learn and grow and experience that. And I moved onto the bus for 4 months. So I was away from my family and away from this the home for a very long time. So I've needed tremendous support, and he's been a real champ in helping me get there. And the day-to-day rhythms, I would say, I'll be honest, they're chaos a lot of times. It's a lot of just, I'm frequently up really late working on things, and try, especially in the pandemic, because you're with your family during the day, so you work late hours. And I have a lot of guilt, I think, like a lot of women, that I'm missing out on things either at work or home. I find I don't do well. And this time period has been so interesting because the majority of my days, the structure was better when I was able to either mother or work on some level. There's always the blend, but to really be able to focus, now I'm at the office and doing this. And when I'm home, I'm sitting on the floor and playing and being present. Kind of all that's gone out the window. Everything is now in one space. And that's hard, and in other ways, positive, because you get to see my kids more, and we have breakfast together in ways we haven't. And it's put some structure of around the family. There's less rush to get out the door, and things that I've come to really cherish right now, which have been amazing. But I think one of the success for me in just like getting through this is that my kids have just been part of this journey from the very beginning. I mean, the fact that it was based off, they, like the whole idea started while feeding Max, and being part of this, since they've been through this journey since the beginning. But I think in ways, what I'm hoping is that like we're all growing this together, and I think they actually feel invested. We'll see a car pass that's teal. That's the color. That's our brand colors. And my daughter will say, "Hey, Mom, that's the pump spotting color. The pump spotting color." And so they've associated it. And Emma will be out in a coffee shop, and she'll say, "Mom, there's a pregnant woman. You should go tell her
Oh my
about
God,
pump
that's
spotting."
amazing.
This makes me think, there was one, oh, it was probably 8 months ago or a year ago, I had a really hard moment, and something that I'd really wanted to come to light didn't come to fruition. And I was in my kitchen, and I was really upset about it, and I was crying, and I was talking to Stephen, and I was saying, this is just really hard. I don't know if I have the energy to keep going. This is demanding so much of my time to build this business, and I want to do it, but I was really at a breaking point for the business, in terms of what we were doing it. And I was so upset, and the kids were eating breakfast, because in our household, just emotion kind of comes out where it is and when it is. And my daughter started crying, and I said, "Emma, what's the matter?" And she said, "You can't quit pump spotting, Mom. You just can't quit." And it was like this, the universe, like she just, and she meant it like in this way. And here I was feeling as though I've just given my life to other people, and but like so much away from them and our family. And what she took away from it was the beauty of what we were doing. And I don't know, that just, we just, we're just making it work somehow as a family.
Wow, that's such a beautiful story. Yeah, I can only imagine what it must have made you feel. That's like the best encouragement to continue.
It's
Yeah,
pretty
it's
special.
beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. I just wanted to ask you for one more thing. What would be your advice to other mums who are struggling perhaps in their current situation and thinking of starting something new, starting something of their own, which they feel will help them combine their creative longings and their mothering journey? What would you tell those mothers?
Go for it. I think, I do. I mean, I never in a million years would have get never would have guessed that, my journey to nourish my son would lead me on this journey to be passionate, to nourish so many others, to be passionate about this, because you don't know where your beginnings take you, and where things go. But if your heart is leading you somewhere, or you're feeling that there is, your voice can bring something of value to others or to something in this world, I think that's so valid. That's so important. And there is something to that. And it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be clear or straightforward. But I think you don't have to know the way forward. You just have to know what you believe in and what you want to do. And the more the more I listen to who I am and the more I remain true to what the vision I have for what I think is possible and where we go, then things just fall into place and doors open, and the journey never looks like you expect it to, but it's worthwhile. And I think that's why I say go for it. I think, like, if you feel as though there's something you want to do, or there's something you're curious about, or there's something that you're feeling you could bring to this world, it's just worth leaning into. And find your people. Find your people around you to help you get there. Find the community.
That's incredible, Amy. Thank you so much. That just inspired me as well. Even though I'm not technically thinking of starting up a new business or anything, but I feel this beautiful advice applies to any mother. So thank you so much for your time. And can I just say that it's 5 a.m. where you are. Well, it's 6 a.m. now. But I applaud you for that.
It's been a wonderful start to the day. I love the conversations you're having. I think thinking about, who we are as mothers and how we feed ourselves and feed others, it's just such an important conversation. And so I'm honored. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
You too.
Thank you for listening. If you have enjoyed this episode, please don't forget to subscribe and share the podcast. I would love to know what you think of motherhood, so please rate and leave a review. You can find me on Instagram at Elissa Timoshkina, and do visit my website, elissatimoshkina.com, for show notes and recipes featured on this podcast.
Okay.